Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Mem Beis. We are holding on daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. We're in the middle of going through the seven different suggestions of who our Mishnah might be going like when our Mishnah says that you could be makna to an unborn fetus. Can you be makna to an uber? So we're going to have, I think we went through the first two or three explanations. We're going to have seven different explanations of who the Mishnah might be assuming like. So a lot of discussion about being mezaka l'ubar. Then the Gemara is going to talk about, in that context, can you be mezaka l'ubar l'kishateled? Even if you can't be mezaka l'ubar right now, because it's still a fetus, can you say, I'm being mezaka right now l'kishateled, that the kinyan should be chal when the baby is finally born? Then the Gemara is going to have two different explanations why someone who made a kinyan on Nichsei Hager, and then the Ger's wife miscarries, meaning he made a kinyan on Nichsei Hager thinking the Ger doesn't have any children. The Ger's wife happened to have been pregnant, but then she miscarries, so does that kinyan that he made work, or does he need a second kinyan? So the Gemara is going to say he needs a second kinyan, but why is the question? Why does he need a second kinyan? We're going to have two different explanations and a nafka mina between them. On Amud Beis, we're going to have a machlokas. There's a Mishnah Maseches Nida about a Yerusha of an Ubar, about Yerusha su Ubar from about a Yerusha of a Ben Yom Echad, that a Ben Yom Echad is Nochel Manchil. So the Gemara is going to discuss what can we learn about Yerusha su Ubar from the statement about Ben Yom Echad. What can we be medayek about Yerusha su Ubar from the statement that a Ben Yom Echad can have normal dinim of Yerusha, can be Nochel Umanchil? Then the Gemara at the very end of the daf is going to have a story where a man tried to be mezakeh, tried to be makna to future children, but this was not a case of mezakeh l'ubar. This is even before that. His wife wasn't even pregnant, and he already tried to be makna something to his future children, who may or may not ever exist. And then an existing child came and said, hey, what about me? And he said, okay, you'll get a chelek together with them also. So the question is, has he just, certainly hasn't been makna anything to the future children. They don't even exist. That for sure doesn't work. But was he makna something to this child right now? When he says, you're going to get a chelek with them, does that mean you're going to get a chelek even though they're not getting a chelek because they don't even exist? Or does that mean you'll get whatever they get? And since they're getting nothing, you're going to get nothing also. So that's the final discussion, the Gemara, that will lead us already into tomorrow's daf. So I think we're up to Vilei Malei Rabbi Yochanan ben Barokahi, about 12 lines before the end of the page. And again, we're trying to figure out why it is that in our Mishnah, we said that if a person says, I am Teled Ishti Zachar, Yitol Mana, so then the baby is going to get a Mana. In Teled Ishti Nekeva, Yitol, she should get Masayim, the baby is going to get Masayim if it's a Nekeva. So why is that? I thought you're not allowed to be Mezake Lu'ubar. So says the Gemara, a third possibility, Vilei Malei Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe our mission is assuming like Rabbi Yochum and Broka, the Amar Loshna Yerusha Veloshna Matana, that it doesn't make a difference whether it's Yerusha or Matana. You're allowed to divert Yerusha to one child over the others. It's not meaning this is qualifying the second suggestion that we had yesterday, which was that maybe we're assuming like Rabbi Yossi, who holds that an Uber can be Kona. So he said because Rabbi Yossi said that having an Uber can passel the Avadim from eating Truma, who can passel the woman from eating Truma, but cannot be Machil the Avadim in Truma. So he said, no, that's different. That's Yerusha. Yerusha is different than a Matana. We're talking about whether you can give a Matana to an Ubar. Yerusha happens automatically. It happens on its own. But Matana is very different. So now we're suggesting, well, if you say like Rabbi Yochum and Baroka, Yerusha and Matana are not so different from each other. Because Rabbi Yochum and Baroka holds that you can, just like you could decide who to give your Matana to, you could decide which of the Yarshim more of the Yerusha is going to. If you have several children and you want a larger percentage of the Yerusha to go to one of them, you're allowed to do that. You're able to divert Yerusha. So maybe Vilema Rabbi Yochum and Baroka, Yidamar Loshan Yerusha, Loshan Matana Ditnan. Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Omer, Ramamar al Misha Roy Liyarsho, Dvar of Kayamin, that if a person says about Misha Roy Liyarsho that he should get a certain percentage of the Yerusha, that Dvar of Kayamin, that it's going to work. So says, and the Rashbam points out, and v'kasal kadaitach debu ubar bein abanim ka'amar, that even if we're dealing with an ubar bein abanim, that it's still going to work. So it says Gemar emer d'shamle l'Rabbi Yochanan brokel l'davar sheyeshna ba'olam l'davar sheyena ba'olam miyamar. No, Rabbi Yochanan brokel only holds that you're allowed to divert Yerusha to an existing child, but not to a child who is not yet in this world, not to an ubar. So that's not really going to help you. So says Gemara, fourth possibility, v'leim Rabbi Yochanan brokel v'savelach Rabbi Yosi. Maybe if you put the last two answers together, then you could have one coherent answer, meaning Rabbi Yosi holds that an ubar can be kona. Rabbi Yochanan brokel holds you can divert Yerusha. So true, from Rabbi Yosi alone, we don't know that an ubar is kona matana, only that he's kona Yerusha. From Rabbi Yochanan Baroka alone, we know that Yerusha Matana are the same, but we don't know that it works for an Ubar. But if you put them both together, you say that Rabbi Yochanan Baroka holds like Rabbi Yossi, so you have both factors covered. You have the fact that it's an Ubar, and that you're giving a matana, and it should work perfectly, like our Mishnah says. So it says Gemara, but miyemar de savrla. Who says that Rabbi Yochanan Baroka actually holds like Rabbi Yossi? We don't know that to be the case. So it says Gemara, okay, another answer to explain our Mishnah, fifth possibility, velemele bimivasreni. Maybe the case in our Mishnah is not at all talking about a situation where you're trying to be makna something to the fetus, to the baby. Maybe the case is you're trying to be makna something to the person who delivers you the good news that the baby was born, and that person is in existence, that person is already born. Ihachi dekatani seifa, if you're going to touch up the Mishnah in such a way, you have to read the rest of the Mishnah as well. And the rest of the Mishnah goes on and says, v'im ein shem yoresh elahu yoresh hakol, that if he's the only yoresh, he gets everything. Ibim avasreni yoresh me'avidte, but if you're not talking about giving anything to your child, you're talking about giving someone to the guy who gives you the good news that you had a child, what does yoresh have to do with anything? A yoresh is talking about your own children. So the mevaser has nothing to do with the yoresh. So that can't be. So the Gemara says a sixth possibility, velemele bishayalda. Maybe the case is that the father says, if my wife gave birth to a boy, then give him $100. And we're talking about that the baby was already born at that time. So you're not being mezaka l'ubar, you're being mezaka to a baby who's already born. You just don't yet know the gender of the baby. So you know the baby was born, so you're saying that, oh, I want my baby to get a gift, a birthday gift, a literal birthday gift from me. I just want it. If it's a boy, let it be $100. If it's a girl, let it be $200. So ihachi dekatani seifa. But again, you have to read the rest of the Mishnah. It goes on to say, v'im amar kol masha teleirishti yitol hareze yitol kol sheteleid kol sheyolda mibayilei. The rest of the Mishnah talks about birth in the future tense, not in the past tense. That if the guy says, whatever my wife gives birth to, so the baby should get X. So we said the baby will get. But what do you mean, will give birth to? If the whole Kimto we're making in the Mishnah is that the baby is already born, you wouldn't speak about Likish, you wouldn't speak about Sheteleid, you would say Sheyolda. So says Mar, seventh and final possibility. Not that the baby's already born and I'm being mezaka to the baby after he's born. I'm trying to make the kinyan to the baby right now while it's still a fetus, but I want the kinyan to be chal after the baby's born. So you're right, you can't be mezaka l'ubar, but I'm not being mezaka l'ubar. I'm being mezaka once he's born. I'm just trying to put the kinyan in motion right now that it should be chal when he's born. Rav Huna l'taymei, and says Gemara, Rav Huna's l'shita. So when Rav Huna, who said that mezaka l'ubar is l'okana and had trouble with how we're going to touch up our Mishnah, so Rav Huna's l'shita. So who said, "Dam Rav Huna af l'kishet teleid l'okana," meaning einachinami. That would be a reasonable way of explaining our Mishnah if you held that worked. But Rav Huna holds that even when you say it's not going to work. You can't even set the process in motion to be makne to a baby who's currently in Uber, even if your plan is that it's only going to be chal afterwards. The Amr of Nachman, a mezaka l'Uber lokana. Rav Nachman holds if you're mezaka to an Uber straight up, and that right now the baby's in Uber, you're trying to be mezaka to him right now, that's not going to work. But l'kishete leid kana, Rav Nachman holds, unlike Rav Huna, Rav Nachman holds that when you say l'kishete leid, that when she gives birth, let this kinyan go through, so that taka will work, as Rashbam explains. L'kishete leid kana, afelgav de polig Rav Nachman b'mocha perus deka l'chavero. Even though Rav Nachman would argue in a case where you're selling peros dekel to somebody else, the peros of a dekel tree, da amar af mi shabo liolam yochel lachzer bo dein on the makom davar shlo bo liolam, where the kinyan would not work even after those peros come out. The Uber is considered yeshna ba'olam, so you could set the process in motion while the Uber is developing inside the mother. And that which you are giving to the Uber certainly is ba'olam. It's just that it's not an all or nothing. It's not either something is yeshna ba'olam, reina ba'olam. Uber is somewhere in between. So an Uber is enough ba'olam that you can start the process by which the kinyan will ultimately be chal. But he is not enough ba'olam to make the full kinyan right now. That's Rav Nachman's view of an Uber. As opposed to if I sell you a tree that doesn't have any fruits, and I say, oh, I'm selling you the future fruits of this tree, those future fruits are not here at all. It's not like they're developing somewhere and they're in some middle, they're in some in-between state. They're not here at all. So such a kinyan is not going to be chal. But Rav Nachman holds an Uber is enough ba'olam to start the process, just not enough ba'olam to make the full kinyan. But we're quoting this for the Shita of Rav Huna Amar back in the Gemara, Rav Huna Amar, af likishete leid lo kana. Even if you use an expression likishete leid, that when the baby is born, the kinyan should finally be chal, that also does not work. Rav Sheshes Amar, echad zeh kana. Rav Sheshes goes to the other extreme. Rav Sheshes says, no, not only does it work if you say likishete leid, it even works if you're mezakeh l'ubar. So we have a three-way machlokas. Can you be mezakeh l'ubar? According to Rav Sheshes, absolutely yes. No problem, you could be mezakeh l'ubar. According to Rav Huna, absolutely not. There's no way to make it work. If you want a kinyan to happen right now, you want to set a kinyan in motion right now, and right now the baby's an Uber. According to Rav Nachman, it all depends how you word it. If you say that I'm trying to make the kinyan 100% right now, no good. But if you say likishete leid, then it is good. So I'm Rav Sheshes mina minalav. She says, where do I get my idea that a mezakeh l'ubar is kona? So says Gemara d'Tanya, ger shemes. We have a brisa that talks about the following. A ger dies, and what happens when a ger dies? Well, first we see if he has any relatives. If after his gerus he got married, had a family, so good. So then there'll be yoreshim, like any other Jewish person who dies. But in a case where he has no relatives, everything is hefker. The nichsei agar are hefker. So what happens? A ger dies, we don't want to wait and do the research right away, because by the time we're done doing the research, someone else will get it. So we want to right away be mezakeh. So bizbizu yisrael nechasav. They right away, everyone makes their claims on whatever it is that he left behind. Vishamu shiyesh lo ben, and then they heard that he has a son. Or maybe not that he has a son, but Oshay se ishto mu'uberes. They heard that his wife was pregnant, and therefore that baby, when he is born, is going to be yoresh the father. So chayav and lahachsir, they certainly can't keep such nechasim that they took that they thought were hefker, because they're not hefker, as Rashbam points out. Chayav lahachsir kiven ishto mu'uberes. Uber yoresh havi. The Uber is a yoresh. So right there we already see that an Uber can be kona, because you see that the Uber is yoresh when the ger dies. Hichziru hakol. Let's say they gave everything back because they heard about this Uber. And then they heard that if it was a son that the ger had, the son died, or if it was just a fetus, that the baby, there was a miscarriage. So there is no baby, there is no family now. So hichzik pishniya. So a bunch of other people come along and make a new kinyan on the nichzei ager. Kana. The people who made the new kinyan are kana. Brishona lo kana. The people who made the original kinyan are not kana. Meaning that that original kinyan was not chal, because at that time there was still an ubar. So that ubar is considered an absolute yoresh, and therefore it didn't work. But v'isal kadai dechuber lo kani, if you hold that an ubar is not kona anything, why do they need to make a second kinyan? The ubar was never kona anything. Meaning, granted, they're going to have to give it back if the ubar is still alive, because when he is born, he's going to be the yoresh, and they can't take away that yerusha. But if the Uber ends up dying, the Uber ends up never being born, what was wrong with their first kinyan? The Uber was never kona anything. No, but what we see from here, says Rav Sheshes, is obviously that an Uber can be kona, that the Uber does have a kinyan on these nechasim. So Amar Abaye says, not a raya. Yerusha ba me'eleha shayni. Just because an Uber can receive a Yerusha does not mean that you could be makna a matana to an Uber. Yerusha happens on its own. Matan is something, a transaction that you're doing. You can't be mezakalu ubar, but a Yerusha can go to an ubar. Rava amar shayni hasam, de rafu mar pion biadayu meikara. Rava says, you know what? You can be mezaka. You cannot be mezakalu ubar, rather. You know why the ubar is yoresh in that case? You know why they have to make a second kinyan in that case? It's not because the ubar is yoresh. No one could be mezakalu ubar. There's no such thing as an ubar making a kinyan. The reason the people needed to make a second kinyan after the miscarriage was because the first kinyan was a very shvacha kinyan. Why was the first kinyan a shvacha kinyan? Because as far as they knew, they weren't really entitled to any of the things that they were taking. They didn't know if the ger had any relatives. They just jumped. As soon as their ger died, they figured, no time to waste. They jumped and they grabbed whatever they could. But they didn't know if what they were doing was real kinyan. A kinyan al-tanai like that. Al-tanai that he had. A kinyan has to be a kinyan. In order to make kinyan, you have to have das. Das means that you have to know that you're doing it. You have to know exactly what you're doing. If you think what you're doing might be worthless, so that's not a kinyan at all. My benai, what's nafkamina, whether you hold like Abaye or you hold like Rava as to why you need to do the second kinyan. Again, Abaye said the reason you need to do the second kinyan was because it was a Yerusha and an Uber could be Kona Yerusha. Rava says, no, an Uber can't be Kona anything. The reason you need to do the second kinyan was because there was a weakness in your first kinyan in that you didn't have the requisite das. What if at the point that they did the kinyan, they heard that the Uber had died? And then it turned out that he had not yet died at that point, but then he died after that point. So is that original kinyan a good kinyan? So if you say like Rava, that as long as they had full das, it's a good kinyan, so good. So then they have a good kinyan, they had full das, because as far as they knew, they thought at least that the Uber was dead, so they had absolute das to be kona. But if you say like Abaye, that Yerusha happens on its own, so an Uber can be kona a Yerusha, there was an Uber at that time, and he was kona the Yerusha, and therefore they would need a second kinyan. So that would be the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava. Very interesting idea over here, though, that a kinyan cannot be chal if it's al tanai, if you're not sure whether you have the ability to make a kinyan. There's a discussion in Achronim whether we say the same thing about mitzvos. We have mitzvos tzrichos kavana. We pass in Hilchos Kriyashma that in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyashma, mitzvos tzrichos kavana, you have to have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. What if you have kavana al tanai? I'm not sure if I really have to say Kriyashma or not. In case it turns out that I really have to, let this count as my mitzvah of Kriyashma. This happens all the time. Shulchan Aruch Rav quotes that it's best to say during Shachris at Karbanos, the Pasuk Shema Yisrael, and then also to add Baruch Shem Kvod Melech Salyon Ved, because sometimes people will get so carried away with the Pesukei Dezimra, with such Kavana, and they'll take such a long time to say the Pesukei Dezimra, that they're going to miss Zman Kriyashma, even though they planned it out properly that they should make the Zman Kriyashma, but the Pesukei Dezimra were just so beautiful, they just couldn't, it happens all the time, right? They just couldn't stop themselves, and they miss Zman Kriyashma. So in order to cover yourself for such a situation, during the Karbanos, when you say Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, say Baruch Shem as well, just to be Yotzei, those sheet mitzvos that you yotze kriyashma d'oraisa with that. But wait, I don't want to be yotze with that, because the kiyum is kriyashma in birchosel. That's the mitzvah min amuvchar, is to say the kriyashma in the context of the birchos kriyashma. Right? That's how all the poskim say, that's the way it's supposed to be done. So I don't want to be yotze in middle karbonos. That's a watered down version of the mitzvah. So says Shulchan Aruch Rav, I have in mind tonight, if we end up making Zman Kriyashma, then this should not count as my Kriyashma. But if we don't end up making Zman Kriyashma, then this should count as Kriyashma. So it sounds like you can, and some even say the whole Parsha V'Yahavta, and that's why it is printed in our Sidurim, the whole Parsha V'Yahavta, and some say you might as well say Vayim Shema to be Yotze, those Shittos, that all two Parshios are D'oraisa, maybe all three, you should say, but a lot of times in shuls where it's like borderline, where they're not sure if they're going to make it or not, they'll announce, say all three parshios right now, just in case we don't make it later on. So in the Sefer Chikrei Halachos, he asks, isn't that against our sugya? Meaning, if a kinyan can't work out tonight, why should a mitzvah be able to work out tonight? I mean, a kinyan requires das. It's not called das if it's only al tonight. So why should a mitzvah requires kavana? Maybe it's not called kavana if it's al tonight. Pashut answer is that there's a difference between das and kavana. That das is the term we use in terms of kinyanim, and you have to, in order for the transaction to be valid, you have to know for sure that the transaction is valid. Maybe by kavana we don't have such high standards. It just has to be that you're doing it l'shem mitzvah or l'shem safek mitzvah, and that's also good enough, that it's a safek. People do this all the time. The Mishnah Berurah recommends doing this by Sfiras HaOmer. You count the Yadavin and Mincha Marav Minyan before Seis HaKuchavim, so you're really during Bein HaShemashos at the time that the Mincha Marav Minyan is counting Sfira. Yotze, something to Rabbanu Lekula, Sfira Samar Zman says Rabbanu Yotze, but it's certainly not best. Best would be when it's not a Safek, when it's after Seis HaKuchavim. So Mishnah Berurah recommends count now Al Tanai, that if I forget later, that this should count as my Sfira. And if I don't forget later, then this should not count as my Sfira, and what I do later should count as my Sfira. So some of the Achronim are not so pleased with that. You can really do such a thing? If, yes, no, you have to have Kavana, then Kavana will count as the Sfira. However, there is another approach, aside from distinguishing between Das versus Kavana. In the Sefer Chikrei Halachos, he quotes, based on an Eglei Tal, who quotes a Tosus in Psachim Kuftes Vav. Tosus in Psachim writes that if you hold Mitzvah Shrichs Kavana, if you don't have Kavana, you're still Mekayim a Mitzvah Kol Shehi. Meaning, it's not a zero when you do a Mitzvah without Kavana. Even if you hold Mitzvah Shrichs Kavana, so it's true, you'd have to do the Mitzvah again if you didn't have Kavana. You're not Yotze Yidei Chavaso, but it's not an absolute zero. It's something. There is some sort of Kiyum in a Mitzvah without Kavana. The Kajig Lover in the Chuvas Eretz Tzvi learns from here that if a person cannot do a mitzvah with kavana for whatever reason, he's chayiv to do it without kavana. Because even though kavana is ma'akev, the full kiyum mitzvah, and he would have to do the mitzvah again, it's still worthwhile to do a mitzvah without kavana. And he has a fascinating raya. The Mishnah Rashanach of Zayin Beis talks about someone who's walking behind the Beis HaKnesses, the Shama Kol Shofar, and he hears that they're blowing shofar. So what does the Mishnah say? Im kiven libo yatsa. If he hears the shofar blowing, so he starts having kavana, he's yotze. So asks the Kashuk Lover, how's that possible that he's yotze? He only started having kavana once he heard the kol shofar, which means that the beginning of the kol he didn't really hear because he heard it without kavana. It was only after he started hearing the kol that his mind got attuned to having the kavana. So isn't that like hearing the sof tkia without hearing the tchilas tkia, where you're not yotze at all? But if you say like this, Tosus, you understand very well. No, it's not that he didn't hear the Tchilas Tkia. He heard the Tchilas Tkia without Kavana. And that's something. That's something. It's still considered a partial mitzvah. And therefore, as long as his Kavana picks up somewhere along the way, it's as if he had Kavana the entire for the mitzvah, and he's Yotze. So then you understand the difference, why it is by Kavanas Kinyan versus Kavanas Mitzvah. By Kavanas Kinyan, when it comes to Kinyan, if you're not Miskaven, there's no kinyan at all. So kavan al tanai is not going to help. But by a mitzvah, kavan al tanai might help, because even if there was no kavana, even if there was no kavana, it does something. It's not a zero when there's no kavana. So maybe that's the chilik between kavana, as far as mitzvahs are concerned, versus kavana as far as kinyan is concerned. Okay, says the Gemara for the Tashmal, let's try to bring a raya about being mizaka l'ubar. Tinok ben yom echad, the Mishnah says in Maseches Nida, if you have a one-day-old baby, no chelu manchil. He can yoresh and he can be morish to others. Ben yom echad in, ubar lo. So you see that only a ben yom echad, but if it's just a fetus, then it does not work. And so Gemara Amar Rav Sheshes, no chel benichse aim, lahanchil la'achin min ha'av. When we say that he's nochel manchil, is that he could be nochel from his mother's estate to be manchil to his brothers from his father. Meaning that, let's say, he has brothers that are only half-brothers, that are only he shares a father with, but he does not share a mother with. Mother dies when the baby is 1 day old, right? So the baby yarshins the whole mother's estate. Baby then dies when he's 1 day old. Who gets the mother's estate that the baby just yarshined? Does that go to his yarshim, to his brothers, or does that go to her other yarshim? So 1 day old is enough that he's able to be nochel, he's able to receive the Yerusha, and give it to his yarshim, to his brothers. V'dafka ben yom echad, but that's only if he actually was 1 day old. Aval ubar lo. But if he was just a fetus, it would not work. Apparently a fetus cannot make kinyanim. So my taima, why is it that a fetus cannot make kinyanim? Says Gemara that a fetus, that it does not work by a fetus to be nochel umanchil. Says Gemara, no, to who mayus bereisha? It's because he dies before the mother. Ve'ina ben yorish asimo bekever lanchil achim in ha'av. Now, maybe this has nothing to do with whether a fetus can be nochel umanchil, can actually be kona. Maybe the assumption is that if the pregnant woman dies, the baby always dies first. So maybe ein chinami. A fetus can be kona, but he's never Yorish's mother because the fetus always dies before the mother. So he never had an opportunity to be Yorish the mother. Says Gemara, is that true? Lememra duhu mayis bereisha? Is that absolutely necessarily true that the baby is always going to die first? V'ahava uvdo pirchas lasa perchusi. We know of a story that happened where a pregnant woman died and the baby was still jumping around. We felt the baby be kicking. So don't tell me that the baby always dies first when a pregnant woman dies. Just because the baby's moving doesn't mean he's alive. You shech the chicken and the chicken jumps around for a while afterwards also. That doesn't mean that it's still alive. It is dead. So the baby does die first. So therefore, in this case of the ben yom echad, yeah, ben yom echad is nochel manchil. A baby is not, but not because of his lack of ability to do a kinyan. The baby is not nochel manchil simply because the mother never predeceases him. He always predeceases the mother. An interesting Tosos in the top Tosos over here, to whom mayus bereisha, says Tosos v'haylu taima k'dam perakam da arachin da aidi de zutra chiyusei. That since we assume his life force is a weaker life force because he's not really a fully alive person, he's only a fetus, so when the Malach HaMavis comes and he drops whatever death potion he drops in the woman, it's going to cut off the weaker life force before it cuts off the stronger life force, and the mother is the stronger life force. I ask Tosos Adam Perik Behema Makasha Hashokher Behema Matzuba Ben Tisha Chai. You shecht an animal sometimes and you find a live baby inside a Ben Pakua. Hainu Dafka Kisha Shachta Ohorga. He says, yeah, you could have such a thing as a Ben Pakua. That's because you killed the animal, you shechted the animal. Shazhi Mesitchil Kadamin Perikam Darachin. Vadam Rabba Shokhe Temesi Ima Vahadu Yoladita Hainu Mesalide Adam. He says there's a difference between the Hamavas versus a person killing another person, or a person dying from some sort of trauma that we know of that was caused, as opposed to just the Malach Hamavas. So Tulsa is making a major rukimta over here that when the Malach Hamavas kills a pregnant person or animal, the baby will always die first. But when it's not the Malach Hamavas who does the killing, when it's a human being that does the killing, when it's a blunt force type of killing, then the mother might die before the fetus will die. This appears, this Tosos appears in a discussion in the Shalos Tshuvos Mimamakim, that Rahman al Son during the Second World War, there was a pregnant woman who was walking down the street and a Nazi officer beat her to death. and they thought that there might be a suffix that the baby might still be alive. So they wanted to know, is it a nivela meis issue to cut open the woman and try to get the baby out? So he discusses whether it's an actual realistic possibility that the baby is alive. So according to Tosfos Lechora, yes, that even though we generally assume that the baby will die before the mother, that's only when it's the malach hamavas, but not when it's a human being who's actually doing this. This also comes up in another area of halacha, in Hilchos Avelos, in Yardeis and Shin Lamates. You have this practice that doesn't seem to be done anymore of being shofech mayim shuuvim that's in the shchunas hameis. The Gemara talks about it, that if they have a neighborhood where a mace dies, so where someone dies, anyone who has drawn water in their house, I guess now we don't really have that, we just have the water in our pipes or whatever, but anyone who has drawn water in their house, they take out, you spill out all of the water, and the reason is we assume the Malach HaMavas dropped some Sama Mavas in all of the water in the neighborhood. So the post can discuss, what if a person didn't just die, a person was killed? So do you have that same Malacha? So in the Lekar HaKemach, he quotes the Sefer Beis Yaakov that if a person was killed, then there's no need to do the Shvichas HaMayim because that's only when it's the Malach HaMavas. And we see from our Tosos, apparently, is that when a person is killed, it's not the Malach HaMavas. Malach HaMavas is only when a person dies. A person is killed, so he's killed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows for one human being to kill another human being, but that has nothing to do with the Malach HaMavas, and therefore, there is no, whatever you call it, or whatever poison, or whatever it is, that the Malach HaMavas might be dropping. You don't have that when a person is killed. That's what the poskim also discuss. There's a minhag that by Beis HaKvaros that the women are not holech achar mita by the Beis HaKvaros. They don't follow achar mita as they're doing the seven ma'amados and they're walking the coffin toward the kever. I realize there are kohanim here. You have no idea what I'm talking about, probably. But there are all these minhagim. These are things that we do. So there is a minhag that women don't do that. So they say the reason is because the Malach HaMavas is there at that time. So it could be that when you're being malava a mace who is not killed by the Malach HaMavas, when you're being malava a mace who is killed by human hands, that these minhagim won't apply either. Okay, a lot of very unusual minhagim when it comes to Hilchos Avelos and Kavura. Marbarei Rav Yosef Mishmei Rava Amar. So back inside the Gemara, Marbarei about 5 lines in on Kufman Beis and Beis. Marbarei Rav Yosef Mishmei Rava Amar Lomer Shemim Ma'it Bechelik Bechora. You know what that Mishnah is teaching me in Nida when it says that a Ben Yom Echa, that only if a baby is one day old, he's nochel manchil. It's not telling me anything. We're making the wrong diuk if we're looking back and saying, oh, what does that tell me about an ubar? It's not teaching me anything about an ubar. What it's trying to tell me is that he's memayit b'chelik b'chora, v'davka ben yom echad, that only ben yom echad is memayit b'chelik b'chora, v'l ubar lo. What does it mean, memayit b'chelik b'chora? He's not the firstborn. There's another child that is the firstborn, but we do have to take this child into account when cheshmaning what piece Shnayim is. But let's say he was just an Uber. So when the father died, if he was just an Uber when the father died, he will receive a portion of Yerusha. But his portion will not be Mima'et the Chelek Bechora. Meaning, it comes out a little funny. The Pishnayim that the Bechor gets may be greater than the normal Chelek that the Bechor gets. Because the normal Chelek that the Bechor gets is divided evenly with all of the brothers, even the unborn ones. But the Pishnayim is only on the Cheshbon of what the normal chelek would have been, not counting the unborn child. So he's memayit the chelek b'chora only if he's a ben yamecha, but not an uber. My time, why not? Why is an uber not memayit the chelek b'chora? V'yoldu lo amar achmana. It says v'yoldu lo in the discussion of the parashas ha-b'chor, so this baby is not yet born. Ben that a ben that's born after the father dies is not memayit the chelek b'chora. My time, it has to be a baby that's already born, and this baby is not yet born. So that's one drasha we make from v'yol dulo. But says the Gemara, there's another drasha to be made, a similar drasha. Besura masnuhachi, b'mdisa masnuhachi. In b'mdisa they said otherwise. They said as follows: Amar mar b'rid Rav Yosef Shred Rava, b'chor shenolad la'achar misa saviv, eino notal pishnayim. A Bechor that's born after his father dies doesn't get Pishnayim. Well, wait a second. How do you have a Bechor that's born after the father dies who's not an only child? If he's born after the father dies, the whole issue of Pishnayim should be a moot point because he's the only child, he gets everything. So there are two ways it could happen. Either there was more than one wife and he left multiple pregnant wives when he died. There were multiple pregnant wives, so the Bechor is whichever woman gives birth first. Or it was only one wife, one pregnant wife, but it was twins. So they're twin baby boys, and the older one, the first one to come out, is the Bechor. So if a Bechor is born after the father dies, that Bechor does not get Pishnayim. My time, why does he not get Pishnayim? Yakir Amar Rachmana, Vahalesa the Yakir. Pasuk says Yakir, and this child is the father is never Makir, so you don't have a din of Bechor getting Pishnayim. We paskin like all of these things that that Marbrei Rav Yosef said in the name of Rava, meaning all of these. Even though we said that this way, these learned this way, and there they learned this way, we hold that Ubar has a din of a Yoresh like Rav Sheshes, and he's just not Mimai the Chelik Bechorah, but he does have a din of a Yoresh. And we learned that a Ben that's born at Lachar Mitzvah Saviv is not Mimai Chelik Bechorah, and that a Bechor who's born Lachar Mitzvah Saviv does not get Pishnayim of the Yerusha when he's born after the Mitzvah Saviv. There is a discussion in Shuvas Rabbi Kiveger and some Kufcha a guy who 20 years earlier had claimed that his wife had cheated on him, that she was nitmeis, and there were edim bedavar, and the dayanim paskin that he has to divorce her because there were edim that she had been unfaithful, and then she had a baby boy afterwards, and the woman had sued him for mizonos for that, you know, for support for the child, and the secular courts made him pay support for the child, even though he kept on saying, "This is not my child. This is the child of that other guy, whoever she was with." When the child grew up and he was 20 years old, he wanted to be lover b'kal Hashem. He wanted to get married. He wanted to not be considered a mamzer. So the question is, the fact that we believe the father, that he's not his son in terms of Yerusha, in terms of everything, does that mean that he's, by definition, he's a mamzer? So as far as the nemanos of the Edom that the father quoted, the Edom weren't testifying about the psul of the son. They were just testifying about the tumah of the Isha. The only reason to passel the son would be the nemanos of the father, to say this is not my child, and that's really a shaila in the din of Yakir. To what extent do we believe a father to say this is or this is not my child? So Rav Eger has three tzadim to be matir the child to say that he's not a mamzer. First of all, the sheet of the Bahag is that a father is not neman to say about a child that he is not his child. All he's able to be made about is a young child that he is his ben abachar, meaning that someone we may have thought was not the bachar, Yakir tells me that he's believed to say that he is the older one, he is the bachar. But you're not neman to say that someone is not your child at all. That's the sheet of Sabag. Second, we have sheet of Tos Rid, that a father is not neman to say on about his son that he's not a son, about anything about a son when the mother contradicts it. If the mother says one thing and the father says something else, there is no automatic ne'amonus of Yakir that a father's believed about a son. And third sad lahakel that he tries to bring is the sheet of the Riaz, that he's ne'amon to say that that this is his son and he's a mamzer, but you're not ne'amon to say this is not my son and he's a mamzer. Right? You're ne'amon to say, yeah, this is my child and he's a mamzer, b'zeh b'niyu mamzeru. You're not ne'amon to say this is not my son and he's a mamzer. So Rabbi Kiveger discusses why it's difficult to rely on these shitos, but a lot of it relates to this din of Yakir that we're quoting over here. He quotes our Gemara in the context of this tshuva, which is don't have time to get into it right now. So says the Gemara further now. Am Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hamazaka l'Ubar lo kana. So wrapping up this sugya of Mazaka l'Ubar, if someone tries to be Mazaka l'Ubar, you're trying to make a kinyan that the Uber should be kona something, does not work. Vim Tomer Mishnah Seinu, what about our Mishnah? Where you're saying that in Tehillat Ishti Zachar that you should get $100 and the Kaver should get $200 and it works? Hol v'daito shaladim krova etzel b'no. That's because daito shaladim is krova etzel b'no. A person has a connection with his child, and therefore he has full das to be mezaka to the child, as Rosh Bam says. V'gomer umakne b'kol libo. Avol ubar acher lo kana. Sounds like the chisaron being mezaka l'ubar is that we don't believe that there's full das to be makne if the baby is an unborn baby. But if it's your own child, then we assume that there's full das to be makne to an ubar, which is an amazing psychological statement about the connection one feels to one's own child. I mean, to everybody else, a woman is pregnant, there's no person there yet. There's no, but to the parents themselves, yeah, this is already a person. They already have hopes and dreams for the person. Amalei Shmuel Rav Chana Bar Gasa, poke icy li be'asara, ve'emelach ba'apayu ha'mezaka l'ubar kana. Go get me 10 people, and we're going to make a public declaration that a mezaka l'ubar is kana, because I want to make sure that this is a psak that's accepted, and when you get 10 people, so that makes it a public psak, and it's with a piercing, and therefore it's going to work. V'hilchsa, but the halacha is ha-mezaka l'ubar lo kana. The halacha is that if you're mezaka l'ubar, if you try to be mezaka l'ubar, that it does not work. And the Rashbam points out, Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yochanan said, "Gon she'eno b'no, avim mezaka l'ubar shemei ishto kana daitu shalom krove etzel b'no." Meaning, yeah, it's lo kana as long as it's not your child. But if it is your child, then the end of the day would be the psak would be that mezaka l'ubar is kana. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Ahu Damar Lidibitu with the story of the guy trying to be mezaka to the pre-Uber.